I would like you to turn with me to the New Testament this time and to the book of Hebrews and chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 and reading at verse 7. The summary of our reading there in Genesis chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Over these past weeks, our general theme has been faith, and people who have exercised that faith in difficult circumstances, perhaps, and they have been an encouragement to us. We keep on reminding ourselves of what faith is, that quality that God looks for in us, that faith of trusting in what God says and what God has promised. And the quality of that trust has been all the brighter and all the more attractive over these past studies when we have seen that faith exercised in very extreme circumstances, under intense pressure, or when there was absolutely no encouragement whatsoever towards the fulfillment of what was promised. We looked at Paul, when he was in the storm at the end of Acts, and the way in which God spoke to him and promised that the people would survive provided they stayed in the boat. All its natural instincts were to jump overboard when the boat was caught in a heavy storm. And yet Paul says, no, I believe God, and you're staying on board and you'll be safe. Or again, Caleb, 40 years after God had promised him the land, when the land was eventually going to be divided up, Caleb came to the center and the front and he said, give me the mountain God promised to me. For 40 years he held on to that promise that God had given to him, despite all the difficulties of wandering through the wilderness, all the false hopes and false dawns. But that's faith, trusting in what God promised. Then again, last week we were looking at Abraham. Promised a son when he was 75 years of age, but only had it when he was 100 years of age. And again, all the signs were against him. The physiology wasn't in it. He was past that age and time of having a son. So was Sarah. But he believed. He believed that he would have a son of his own. And when it did happen, that wasn't the end of things for Abraham, because when it happened and he had a son, Isaac, God tested him most severely by taking him to the Mount Moriah to sacrifice that son. And Abraham was willing to comply with it because he believed that God would even raise up his son from the dead. There you have that faith again, with extreme pressure, in an extreme situation, simply believing in God. And that's what's required of us also. To believe in the gospel of salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ as a personal savior of your soul. Under extreme pressure, when there are no encouragements to back it up, when you are being laughed at and mocked at, perhaps that's something that will come out of Noah for us today. But that's the kind and quality of life. That's what God is looking for from you and from me. That simple confidence, trust in Him. There are times when it is very difficult, perhaps, to hold on to that faith because we get knocked and bashed about. We get so many things creeping into our lives to divert us and to distract us. We get so many other priorities or agendas come before us. You've got to do this and you've got to go there and you've got to attend to that. And there's always the tension, there's always the pressure, there's always this battle on. about keeping our faith alive, keeping it focused and functioning. Keep looking to the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith then. Faith is necessary for salvation. But we've got to say this. Faith in itself won't save you. But you won't be saved without faith. Now what do I mean by that? Well, I mean simply that faith is the act of stretching out and leaning upon and relying on someone else. Somebody else to do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. You won't be saved by the fact of stretching out. It's not that stretching out that saves you, it's the person that you're leaning on that saves you. And so we trust and we lean and we stretch out to depend upon Jesus Christ and what he's done on the cross. And how does the cross and how does Calvary come into all this? How does Calvary come into your life and into mine this morning and all of our lives round about us? Simply because there in their Bibles, God explains our problem. God tells us what's wrong with us today. We've got so many spin doctors, we've got so many analysts, psychologists, psychiatrists. We've got so many people in business, in commerce, in politics, in sociology, and everybody is making their money and living by analyzing people and society and trends today. But the best and the most accurate and the perfect analysis of us is given to us by God himself. And he says to us simply, our problem is this. We cannot save ourselves because we are sinners way over our heads. And having told us that stark reality, God then goes on to give us the one glorious solution, the way in which he has sent his own Son to be the Savior of sinners, dying on the cross, giving his life so that his people might live. And then when you hear that gospel message, there is always this command comes to us. We are then called upon to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's where faith comes in. We are to lean upon and trust in what Jesus Christ has done. If we are to be saved, we need to be in a certain relationship with God. And that relationship is what's called faith. Trusting our soul to Savior Jesus Christ. The question then we've got to ask ourselves this morning before we go any further. Do we have that certain relationship with Jesus Christ? Do we commit our souls and the interests of eternity to the Lord Jesus Christ? What place does he have in our lives? Do we rely upon what God says? Do we trust in what God tells us? Do we hold on to the promises God has given us? That's what it means to have faith in Jesus Christ. And we've been looking at that quality of faith and trust and relying upon God. In different people's lives, we've looked at them and summarized them already. But they all come back with a message and an application to ourselves. That sometimes our faith is under pressure, under test. Sometimes it's in the furnace. And we've got to go to these flesh and blood examples to see the way in which they coped, to encourage us to cope also. And here's another one. Noah. Let's look at his life briefly this morning. Three things I want simply to take out of his life. They're lying there on the face of the Scriptures text for us. First of all, the one quality that was highlighted, is highlighted here is his faith. And then secondly, I want us to look at his fear. He was moved with fear. And then thirdly, the fulfillment of all that he did. He did, we read it there, the very last verse of Genesis 6. He did everything that God told him to do. So let's then take each of these. And first of all, this man's faith. It's the first thing that's noted and highlighted out of his life. It's the foundation on which everything else rests. And in highlighting it, he is challenging us. Do we have this same foundation ourselves? Particularly, we see that faith in the ordinary, everyday affairs of life. We are told in Genesis chapter 6 that Noah walked with God. He was a just man and a perfect man in his generation. And when we see somebody walking with God, it means and it brings home to us an ongoing relationship in everyday life and living. Trusting and relying and referring things to God that are ordinary, routine, and usual. It's not just one-off event. It's not a great climax meeting and confrontation. It's not a big problem that comes into his life. That's not what we're speaking about here. We're talking about the whole drift. Every aspect. The little details of his life. The relationship he had with God, it was deep, deep in his life. But yes, it was also very obvious on the surface of his life. He had God with him day after day. He saw God's hand in providing the things that came to him, the protection that he had, the provision that he had. He saw God's hand operating and blessing him, big things, but also in little things. There was nothing boxed off. There was nothing highlighted. There was nothing like, well, that belongs to the Lord, but the Lord, I'm keeping this little corner to myself. His life would set out in a whole row of pigeonholes. There was family life, there was business life, there was life in the community, there was life in the church, there was life with the neighbors, and every box was there set out, and Noah would have all of them, and the Lord was with him in each one of them. But then at the end, some of us might have a box private, hands off. No. Every department of life, everything was underneath the lordship of his God. Everything was underneath the scrutiny of his Savior. So therefore, in that sense, we can say that Noah, he wasn't just an occasional guest who went visiting. You know, sometimes you've got visitors that come to the house. Somebody that's maybe a family friend or somebody that we've known very much in the past. But they come every now and again to see us. That's not the way Noah's relationship to God was based. Noah's relationship with God was not of the occasional guest. But Noah's relationship with God was with a constant tenant. Somebody who was living in the house, always with him. Not just one day a week, not even 2 days a week, but 7 days a week. The whole focus of his life was round God, relating it to God, and looking to the Lord, how he should do things, where he should go, and so on. What therefore molds tomorrow for you and me? What is it that is going to dictate our priorities in life tomorrow? What is it that is going to influence where we go and what we say and how we respond and we react to people. We're all going to be put to the mark. We're all going to be underneath pressure. Things are going to needle us. And we're going to be pushed and pushed and pushed. How then do we respond? The ordinary things of life. When you're in need, when a problem arises, when a difficulty comes, what do we do about it? Do we simply go along a well-worn path? Yes, a very well-worn path, going to our God. Again, one of the dangers, one of the downsides of people climbing the Ben, it's a well-worn path, and you're walking over stone, and there is a path and a track that is worn down by many, many feet upon it. That's the kind of relationship we need with our God. We constantly go back to Him along a path we've walked so often before to tell God about the little things and the big things in life. His faith. He walked with God in the ordinary, everyday affairs of life. But not only that, we see his faith being highlighted in the way in which he specifically believed in God's word. He believed what God had told him. God said to him, you're going to build an ark, and this is the way you're going to do it. And he was given precise measurements and plans and details. And Noah went out and he did it exactly like God said. He believed the word of God. He took God at his word, and he believed exactly what God said. He took God seriously, and he acted on what he was told. He didn't go around, and sometimes there was a program last night on Channel 4 about somebody was building a house in Spain. And they had their own plans in their heads, and they had their own plans on paper. But when they started putting it up, they said, no, I don't want a door there. Move it over here. I want a second floor in here. And they kept on changing things over all the time. Not with Noah. He did exactly what he was told. He believed God's word, and he took God seriously. That's what we need as well. We need to believe God's word, and we need to take God seriously. If we do not believe that we will be punished for our sins, how can we be sure that he will pardon us for our iniquities? If we do not believe we'll be cast into hell, how can we be sure we will be taken to heaven? If we doubt one aspect of the gospel, then that doubt will rob us of our confidence in others. He believed God's word. And that's what we've got to do as well. We've got to read the solemn warnings that God gives us about our spiritual state. And we've got to read and believe the promises he's given to us about salvation and forgiveness and heaven. But we've got to keep both of them alive in our minds. Because if God says he will save, then the solemn thing is, God also says there will be those who will be lost. Believe entirely God's word. Take seriously what God says in this book. It's not something that can be pick and choose. I'll take a little bit of this, but I don't want any of that. And I'll take a bit of this, and oh no, I don't like that. It's not a pick and mix. We believe it entirely, totally, what God has said. God told him what to do, and God did it. God is true to his word. It's the same with the gospel. God has done something. He has sent his son to be the savior of sinners, and he's come and he's died on the cross. That's what God has done. And now he tells us, this is what we've got to do. We are called to believe, and we're called to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. His faith in the ordinary things of life, his faith in the Word of God, but another aspect to that faith, his faith was highlighted because everything looked so unlikely, even impossible. Can you imagine? Here is Noah, and he's beginning to lay down a keel for a boat, 450 feet long. He's beginning to build, not a little dinghy that he's going to go around in. He's building a big boat. And there's no sight of water round about it. Can you imagine the people going past him day after day? The jokes they would have made. The way in which they would have poked fun at him. Oh, there's Noah. Ah, yes, let's just tolerate him. There he is. He's building his boat. Well, well. Well, well. But Noah rested in what God said. And that's enough. He didn't laugh like the rest at the building of the ark. He didn't give up because of the people. He looked beyond these things and he believed in what God had said. He wasn't laughed out of building the ark. And we shouldn't be laughed out of believing the gospel just because of what people do and say to us. The impossible. It's not going to get rain. It's not going to get water. Noah, you're foolish in what you're doing. That's the kind of comment that sometimes comes to us when we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything points against it. But then one day, it started to rain. And can you imagine the way people would have changed then towards Noah? The way in which those who had poked fun and laughed at him, those who had been filled with humor and skepticism, criticism, those who had made fun of him day after day, year after year, their face was changed. They saw the rain. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. But we may cave in below these name-calling. The impossible, when he built the ark, but then the rain came. It's the same with the gospel. People say, well, God isn't that kind of a God. That's not what's going to happen at the end of times. There's no place like hell. There's no condemnation to fear. And people will try to dismiss the gospel like that from our hand also. Until that one day when the angel's noise comes. Until that one day when things that we looked upon as being so substantial and stable begin to crack and fall apart. When those things that once we leant upon and trusted in begin to let us down. Until that day comes when at last we're shown up for what we really are. And when things begin to go that way, people begin to think again. But then it might be too late when the rains came. The faith of Noah. But what else did we say here very, very briefly? Not only do we have the faith of Noah, we've also got the fear of Noah. By faith, Noah, being warned of God, moved with fear. What is this fear? It's not that Noah was afraid of God. Let's immediately get rid of that thought. He knew his God. He was confident in his God. He had a relationship with God. It wasn't a fear that paralyzed him. It wasn't the fear of meeting God that struck terror in his heart. No, it wasn't anything that paralyzed him at all. It was quite the opposite. When we talk about Noah fearing God, what we mean is that Noah was careful. He was so careful to be precise in everything that God told him to do. He had this relationship with God. There was a love, there was a confidence, there was a belief and a trust in God that lay behind and below everything he did. And he was careful. God, his God, nothing but the best. Nothing but the best for God. And that's what he was going to do it. That's how he was going to do it. If there was something wrong with a piece of wood, out it went. If it was a millimeter short, out it went. That's what it means, the fear of God. Everything as perfect and as precise as it could be. Stimulated by the love of God to him, by God's thinking of him and providing for him. The fear of God, a fear that is built upon the grace of God to us, and a fear that is fed by a constant experience of the love of God to us, day after day. When we see God in our lives doing so much for us, when we are aware of God's help to us in every little problem and difficulty, when we see God coming and giving us this and protecting us from that, when we are aware of God's interest and involvement in our lives, that produces something in us. It makes us most careful how we live, because we want to please God. We want to please God because he has done so much for us. Having tasted of God's mercy and grace, having experienced forgiveness through Jesus Christ, that has a profound and a permanent effect upon your life and mine. We are changed from that moment onwards. No longer can we be footloose. No longer can we play around with sin. No longer, everything has changed. Everything is different. That moment we come to trust in Jesus Christ, there is this reverence, there is this regard, there's this thought, nothing but the best for God who has given his Son to be my Savior. One of the phrases, and I'm just going to quote it, one of the phrases that occurs from time to time in the Old Testament is this one. Each man did what was right in his own eyes. In other words, he was the standard. He thought it out and he did it. It didn't care tuppence for what somebody else said, and he certainly didn't care what God said. Each man did what was right in his own eyes. That's the thinking we have about us in our society today. People do what they want for their interests, their pleasure. Not Noah. He constantly referred things back to God. He wanted to make sure that he was pleasing God. He wanted to be sure that God was given the glory. That's what it means, the fear of God. He wanted to please as well as to praise his God. And that brings us briefly to the last thing I mentioned, not only his faith, not only the fear of God, but the fulfillment of his plans. He obeyed exactly what he was told. He did according to all that God had told him. Genesis chapter 6. There's a carelessness that is about us in society today. People are careless about things of the gospel. People are careless about their own and their soul's spiritual good and well-being. Not so Noah. He was very, very particular, as we've just said it. Heaven requires deliberate thought, care, and attention. Heaven requires an application on our part. This fulfillment. If we're going to get to heaven, we're not going to drift there. We're not suddenly going to come around the corner of life and there it is waiting for us. That's not the way it happens. We cannot, we dare not trifle with spiritual things. We've got to listen carefully. We've got to listen carefully and closely to what God is saying to us. We don't arrive there by accident. It requires determination, application on our part. For 100 years or so, Noah was building this ark. And he never changed it. Perhaps people got used to it. People got used to what he was doing year after year. Just the same way as perhaps that's something of our experience. We've heard the gospel how many times in the past? How many times have we heard the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? And there's a great danger in that privilege. The danger of sitting underneath the gospel and getting used to it. The complacency. We get laid back. We're not disturbed. We can listen to it and it's like water off a duck's back. It goes by us. What a fearful danger that is when we hear the gospel. Until suddenly we hear the rain coming. And the promises and the threats of the gospel are fulfilled in equal measure. We get used to the gospel, our hearts become insensitive, we become dull in our hearing. Let not that happen to us. Don't let a coldness creep in upon us and we become hard underneath this gospel message. Today people will laugh at us when we speak about the gospel, perhaps. Today people will put us to one side and they'll get on with life and they'll ignore us, thinking that they can do it safely. But God has spoken to us. And he has spoken to us through his Son and he's told us our problem and the way it needs to be solved and put right. And the responsibility we have is of telling people their need and how it can be put right. And by doing that, the responsibility then falls upon those who hear this gospel and the call to trust in Jesus Christ. We tell people about heaven to be reached and hell to be shunned. It might not be that plain to people today. It might not be that obvious. But one day it will be. One day, the things of time and sense about us will be overtaken, fallen apart. And one day, the things that God has said will happen. He will gather his own, and the rest will be cast out. One day, when the rain started, in the days of Noah, the trumpet will sound and it will be too late. Because God says, now is the day of salvation. Now is the appointed hour. And the only protection for our souls is to commit our souls to the Savior. To come underneath the protection of his blood. To be clothed in his righteousness. And only then will we be safe. And the question for us all this morning is, are we safe? Are we trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ for our soul's salvation? Let us pray. Our God, our Lord, we have had great privileges constantly coming into our lives, and this morning has been one of the same. We have heard this gospel again. It has come to us to speak to us and to challenge us. And Lord, we pray that this morning Thy Spirit would be at work in our hearts, no matter what family or friends might be with us or round about us. We stand here alone before Thee. Our dealings are with Thyself alone. And therefore, our God, we pray that Thy rich and gracious blessing might be upon us in Thy mercy, and that we might come as Noah and others before us to faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. For we ask it in His name. Amen. We close then this morning our service by singing from Psalm 33. Psalm 33 and at verse 8. Psalm 33 and at verse 8, let earth and all that live therein with reverence fear the Lord. Let all the world's inhabitants dread Him with one accord. For He did speak the word, and done it was without delay. Established it, firmly stood whatever He did say. God doth a counsel bring to naught which heathen folk do take, and what the people do devise of none effect doth make. Oh, but the counsel of the Lord doth stand for ever sure, and of His heart the purposes from age to age endure. That nation blessed is whose God Jehovah is, and those a blessed people are whom for His heritage He chose.
And now may grace, mercy, and peace from God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit rest upon and abide with you all. Amen.